Well, hey everyone, welcome back. Dave DeBow at you with our special guest today, a friend and a client, Ms. Amanda Spence. And I've known Amanda for some time now. And what I'm really impressed with is how she is able to pivot things. So when I first met Amanda, she was focusing on doing small multifamily properties in the Maritimes and actually in Ontario as well. Markets change, things change. She shifted her direction. She's now doing some exciting things south of the border in Cleveland, Ohio. And I just really, really admire how Amanda grabs onto something, learns it. She's a very detailed, focused person, very sharp cookie, and she's doing really, really well. So Amanda, really glad to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm humbled for all of those kind words.
Well, you deserve them. So first things first. How and why did you first decide that real estate is what you wanted to focus on?
Yeah, a great question. And I can't really explain why or how it all started. I just remember I was young, maybe like a teenager, and I was always interested in real estate and real estate investing. I'd watch all those shows on TV with, the Flip-Its and the renovation shows, and I could just see the value in how people would, purchase them and put money into them and then make a profit on them. So at some point there was an infomercial on TV, and I was able to see somebody that had an education program on investing in the US. So I bought it with my credit card, and I started
or somebody's credit card, because I thought you were like 15 or 16 when you bought that first course.
Yes, it was. Maybe it was like I could do like a direct deposit or something.
Okay, something happened. You
like
bought it yourself, anyhow. Yeah.
Yeah, and my whole family laughed at me, of course, because of it. But I was just consuming it and just learning and learning, and that really just started my real estate investing journey. And not too far after that, in my 20s, I really wanted to be able to get a place of my own. So with the help of my grandfather for a down payment, he lent me to buy a pre-construction condo. But that was taking too long to get built, and I needed a place to stay. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to use my first-time home buyer's plan and use that as a down payment for another condo that was actually ready to move into. Later on, I ended up selling the first condo, never have lived in it, for like $100,000 profit. So
nice.
That was really sort of the beginning of my journey of purchasing real estate and continuing to sort of invest and scale up over time.
So as I mentioned at the top of the show, you eventually got into, you did actually a couple of short-term rentals. I think you got something in cottage country in Ontario. You got into multifamily properties. I believe you got something in New Brunswick. And then you just really decided to focus on investing south of the border. So tell us a little bit about that. What sparked that? What area do you focus on? What kind of deals are you doing? That sort of thing.
Yeah, so I mean, I'd like to be able to invest in Canada, which I have, and I've done a bunch of different things in Canada, but the market conditions changed quite a bit over the last couple of years. I was always very interested in investing in the US, but I really did not know how. I didn't have the education, the resources to know how to do that. So I did start to invest in that direction about a year or so ago on how to do investing in the US because of the environment in the Canadian.
So you mean you took some training and stuff like that about it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I invested in some education courses because, again, you can't really, learn this stuff in school, really. So I did that and started that journey of trying to pivot to investing in the US. And I have done so successfully over the last year. A lot of reasons why, Cleveland, Ohio, because it has a really great price point to entry that allows you to really scale up more so than you can trying to buy things in Canada. There's different types of mortgages there that make it just an easier environment, I find, to invest and to keep going in the US.
So what kind of properties are you buying in the US, in Cleveland specifically?
Yeah, so similar to Canada, multifamily, single family, sort of just depends on the opportunity. But my main strategy in the US is buy and hold, and more specifically what's called a BRRRR, where you buy, you renovate, you rent, you refinance, and then you repeat. So the reasons why I really like that strategy is, one, you don't have to worry about paying capital gains tax when you sell. So that's nice to not have to worry about doing that. You can, you have the passive income long term. So you're getting the monthly positive cash flow rent by holding on to the property. And, like I said, when you renovate, you're forcing appreciation, or you're increasing the value of the property, so that when you go to refinance, it's worth more than you bought it for and you renovated for. So you've just gained yourself some equity and capital in there. And so you can pull that out, and then as much as possible out, and be able to do it again with the next property and the next one and the next one. So
So when you say you don't have to pay capital gains, is that because you're pulling this capital out as a loan, or there's no capital gains in the States?
There is capital gains tax in the States,
I
just like
thought so. Yeah.
Canada, right? But you're avoiding doing that by, when you're refinancing, you're pulling that capital out and putting it into another property. So it's protected that way, which
Well,
is,
one nice thing about the States is they've got the 1031 exchanges, so you can. If you do sell a property, you got a big chunk of profit, you can roll that into another property instead of having to pay a whack of taxes like we do in Canada and then do something with it, right?
yeah, you can, but I think that is more of an opportunity for people that are US citizens. It's not as
Okay.
easily accessible to Canadians to be able to use that strategy. So there's definitely a lot of real estate investors in the US that are US citizens that are in the business for fixing and flipping, and then just, transporting that profit to the next property as long as they buy a new one within a certain amount of time. But it's a little harder for Canadians, I think, to utilize that strategy. So that's why
We
I'm.
gotta figure out a way. Gotta figure out a way to get that amazing benefit here in Canada as well. So, Amanda, now that you've been involved in real estate one way or the other for quite some time, actually, as a percentage of your lifetime, seeing that you started when you're in your early 20s, knowing what you know now, if you were to start all over again from scratch, what, if anything, would you do differently?
I definitely would like to have gotten started on this a lot sooner in my life. Been able to find, or spent the time to look for the educational resources on how to learn how to real estate invest, because, like I said, you can't, you, this is not taught in school. It's not something that, you take a course on it in university, or even elementary school, or high school. There's just no basics learned about this. So I wish I had made the time and invested in it a lot earlier, and then gotten going sooner and invested in more properties. So I'd be much further ahead than I am now. I'm not
Well,
complaining.
let me rephrase the question then. So let's pretend you lost it all today. Heaven forbid, right? You got plunked in a brand new place. You're starting all over again from scratch. You can't start earlier. That's off the table. You got to start from scratch today. What would you do differently, if anything?
I would put more time and effort into and setting aside time to focus on getting the education I need to then do the investing and taking action, because that is one of the biggest things. Is you can educate yourself, like crazy, and then just never take action. So, being patient with yourself and taking time to know that, you're never moving as far ahead forward as you want to, like as fast as you want to. But I would definitely dedicate more time to that, so that I could, start purchasing and being feeling confident in doing that sooner, I guess. I was also, I had a full-time job before, so I've been out of the corporate world now
Plus,
for.
you got a full-time family.
Oh
Okay.
yeah, that's Yeah, I
You have
have
a little kids and whatnot, so
three
in
kids,
a
two
yeah.
dogs, you know, all those fun things, and a
Yeah.
husband to deal with too. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, exactly. Another extra kid there, so yeah.
Exactly, right? So just being able to, like, really being dedicated and focused on that, it was tough to do on the side. So I'm super grateful now that I can focus on this full time, and I do this as my full time living.
Yeah,
So.
that is awesome. All right, so kind of a similar question, but I know you're big into the education, you're big into the coaching, you're big into getting help where you need it kind of thing. So you hang around with a lot of other people that are learning about real estate investing. Besides analysis paralysis, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see other real estate investors making? Whether they're in Canada, whether they're in the States, just kind of generally, what do you see as some pitfalls?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned one of the big ones is the analysis paralysis
Yeah,
and
that one's off the table. So what are the
not
other
taking
ones?
action. I do see a lot of people that invest in like course after course, like program after program, and then they're doing all of this education but not taking action on it. It's not quite the same as analysis paralysis.
I think it's a different form of it, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's fabulous, and I think everybody should keep learning their whole lifetime as much as they can, but it gets to this sort of tipping point where you need to do something about it, right? Like if that's your intention and investing all this money and time and energy into learning how to do it, then just go and do it, right? You know, people get there's fear. I think there's a lot of fear of making a mistake or not, you know, knowing enough to move forward, but I think people really need to just be confident in what they're learning and know how to do and just take action. And then there's a lot of learning. Like, I mean, there's a saying, right? You know, if you don't make any mistakes, how are you ever going to learn, right? But I think the fear is because it's real estate and it involves a decent amount of money, that the mistakes can be detrimental. But I think, you know, when you're following education plans and programs and you know how to do the analysis of numbers and deals, then, you know, the mistakes really aren't going to be that grave if there are any, you know.
So what I'm hearing you say
What I'm hearing
is
is
people get stuck and they don't take the action. They take course after course after course. Fear is the big thing holding them back. So if somebody is scared spitless to take that first step, what recommendations do you have for them? Besides just do it, because that's easy to say, but hard to do, right? So.
well, I mean, there's a bunch of different things that you can do. So, I mean, it depends on how much time you have and finances to be able to invest in education. But let's say you don't have a lot of that, but you still really want to get into real estate investing. You can see the benefits of doing that. You know, I'd recommend looking for some kind of partnership where you're working with somebody that knows how to do that and has experience and has done it well, that they can work with you together to get invested in properties, or you can work with somebody as like a coach and a mentor, similar to yourself, Dave, and you know the things that you do to help people, to be able to, you know, learn from them and, you know, bounce ideas and things off of, you know, get yourself networked in lots of different real estate investment groups like Facebook, you know, all the different social media platforms where you can, you know, pose questions to people that have had the same experiences or and they can give their answers on that. And then, I mean, otherwise, like if you really want to focus on this, like do the time, like get the education, learn how to do it, and get doing it. Get, you know, take action, and avoid the analysis paralysis. You know, really when it
Okay.
comes down to it, if you
So
can.
you've got an interesting professional background. Maybe tell people briefly what you did, what your education and your job was before.
Yeah, great. So totally different from real estate investing. So most of my career has been in the medical field, like medical device. So I've been in marketing roles, senior sales roles, key account management, business development roles. So there is no doubt that having that breadth of experience in all these different sort of areas of business have really helped. Contribute to the success in real estate investing.
And what was
But when
your
it comes down,
your education background? Just remind me, because
oh yeah,
it was
it, so I have,
extensive.
yeah, so I have a master's of science in kinesiology focused on orthopedic sport medicine. So at one point I did want to go in and be a doctor, ideally an orthopedic surgeon. But I actually got into business after my master's in medicine. So that's sort of what took me down that road instead of going into medicine itself. So I got to work directly in medicine with surgeons and physicians, but on the business side. So I developed all these business skills, which have been very valuable in my lifetime for
Yeah,
sure.
well,
So
so that was what that's what I want to connect the dots with here is what within real estate investing, based on your own personality, your own strengths, your own background through education and work beforehand, what do you think that you bring to the table that's kind of like your superpower or your, as I think Kiyosaki calls it, your unfair advantage? What comes easier to Amanda than to the rest of us?
wow, that's a good question. I think to be honest, like I don't feel like I have an unfair advantage over anybody else that wants to get into real estate
Well,
investing.
we all do, Amanda. Like for me, it's amazing good looks and complete modesty. Those are my unfair advantages. So what would you
Got
say
it.
yours are?
I think I'm a people person. I'm a relationship person. Being able to build relationships with lots of different stakeholders, and that's very important in real estate investing. And then the numbers. I've always been good at math and numbers and analyzing deals. Yes, I've been stuck in analysis paralysis myself, but can recognize and get out of that. Because I've just become really good at finding deals, analyzing deals, negotiating deals, being able to buy properties at discounts and ensuring they have good cash flow. And I think that's a skill, that from some of my background has come easily to me.
Well, I think you got a double whammy there because usually they don't go together. And I've worked with hundreds and hundreds of real estate investors 101 over the years. And most people that are really good with the numbers are kind of dumb with their people skills. And most people that are really good with the people skills suck with the numbers. So having that combination, if I can present that to you, I would say that is your unfair advantage of combining people skills with analysis skills. That's a very, very winning combination. So it's tough to suggest how other people can develop that skill set together. But let's say when it comes to the people skills, because I'm sure a lot of that came through your work and through your training and being involved in sales and that sort of things. Would you have any suggestions or tips for folks that might be good on the analysis side, but not so good on the people skill sides about how they can get better at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Practicing having conversations with people, getting to know them on a personal level. People like to connect and relate to things they have in common. So try to find, commonalities that
So
you might
how
have
do
with.
you do that? Give me some specific examples. When you meet somebody new, how do you get the conversation going to get that relationship started? What do you find works well for you, Amanda?
Yeah, I mean, just being friendly and open, ask about like their goals and things they like to do, hobbies they like to have, even in real estate investing. I do that all the time. If somebody happens to mention something about their personal life, I will try to find some kind of commonality myself. So say somebody mentions they have kids. Well, I've got kids too, and so I sort of try to talk to them a little bit and banter back and forth about, oh, I know what it's like to have kids. You know, how old are your kids? And things like that. So
Nice.
just trying to get the conversation going and find something that you can relate to, and that you can have sort of a commonality between you and that person, and then kind of go from there. I mean, it ebbs and flows between business as well as personal, but the people remember you for making a personal connection with you. And, I will write notes down and jot notes down about personal things about people so that when I talk to them next, then I can bring up those things. How are those five kids of yours? Or how was the golf course the other day? Or whatever it might be, so that they just feel like, and you're special and you've made an impact on each other's lives, even though you're doing business together. I think that's, it doesn't come that easily to everybody. But I think just asking questions about other people, you'll discover lots of things, that I think can help you in the long run when building relationships, because it's a relationship business.
It really is. No, that's something that I've learned over the years. And the other thing I find, I don't know if you agree with this, Amanda, is most people really do enjoy talking about themselves. So if you get that conversation going, it can go quite a ways, as long as they don't feel like it's an inquisition or there's some sort of a sneaky ulterior motive. And you're absolutely right. Everything's a relationship business, right? It's never just dollars and cents. It's how the other person feels about you. Like I always tell people that in order for somebody to invest with you, they need to know you, like you, and trust you with their money. Well, know and like come first, right? That's part of the whole situation
Gosh,
there. Well,
absolutely.
this is great, Amanda. So what are your plans for the future? You've got things up and rolling. You've done a lot of legwork, a lot of education, a lot of preparation, a lot of expense setting up legal entities in Canada and the States and figuring out how that whole cross-border thing works for you and your partners, your joint venture partners. What's coming down the pipeline for Amanda Spence? What comes next?
Oh, this is my favorite part. Yeah. So, action, buying properties, getting properties under contract, renovating, doing the BRRRR strategy. That's what we're in right now. I'm buying for myself, I'm buying with joint venture partners and building the portfolio, all the while building relationships with the community, so that deals, opportunities are coming my way, so that I can sort of get the best opportunities that are out there. So it's just building and acquiring real estate wealth, really.
That just like
And
you said at the beginning, that's
yeah.
what it's all about for you. Awesome, Amanda. Well, this has been a lot of fun. And if
Yeah.
people would like more Amanda Spence and they'd like to connect with you, what's the number one best way for them to do that?
Fantastic. The best way is my website. So amandaspence.ca. That's where you'll be able to find information about me and what I'm up to, as well as my contact information. So you can reach out to me, phone, email, whatever you'd like. Also, I have a link in there if you wanted to book a Zoom meeting or some kind of face-to-face meeting if we live near each other. I'm happy to do that as well. I love hearing from fellow real estate investors or people that are interested. So please don't hesitate to reach out to me.
All right, Amanda. Well, thank you very much for being on the show.
Absolutely, my pleasure. And thank you so much, Dave. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you. I look forward to our future working together.
Likewise. All right, everybody, take care, and we will see you on the next episode.